Okay, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Now, tonight is our Thanksgiving service. Of course, Thanksgiving's on Thursday, but we typically will have our service on Tuesday to allow every family to basically prepare for Thanksgiving on Thursday. It takes two entire days, to prepare for that. So I know a lot of the families are thankful for that, so that's why we have it on Tuesday. And so the service is a little streamlined. I'm not going to be preaching as long tonight. And so we are going to have dinner tonight, and turkey and ham and all that good stuff, fellowship, and just have a time of thankfulness. And so I want to be an encouragement tonight. And so I want to be able to sum up this entire year and our attitude towards this year. Obviously, it's not been the best year, right? And a lot of trial and tribulation throughout this year. I'm sure a lot of you have gone through many things throughout this year. So I want to kind of help you with your perspective and how to finish off the year 2020 in your mind. How is it that we should have, what kind of perspective should we have in regards to this year? And so I just want to be an encouragement tonight. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 1. It says here, "Who is the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in the evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever he pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Verse 5, Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." And the title of my sermon this evening is The Blessings of the Evil Day. The Blessings of the Evil Day. In verse number 5, it says that when we keep the commandment, and obviously as Christians, we think automatically the commandments of God. When we keep the commandment, whosoever keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Now, obviously, we understand that each and every one of us, when we go through a trial or tribulation, when we go through the evil day, we're going to feel some sort of anguish and anguish of soul and sorrow because of it. But what I believe this is saying here is that we shall feel no evil thing because of the fact that he that keepeth the law of God, happy is he, right? Yes. And a wise man's heart is able to discern both time and judgment. In other words, when we look at the evil day, yeah, we see that we're going through tribulation and anguish, but we're able to discern time and judgment. We know that these things have an end. We understand that there's a greater purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And so a wise man's heart can discern both time and judgment. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this evening, is the fact that there are blessings found in the evil day. Okay. Amen. And 2020 can be summarized as the evil day, right? Lots of evil has happened throughout this year. And maybe there's some of you in here who will say, well, I haven't been affected by this at all. You know, I've just kind of gone about my normal life and nothing really bad has happened to me. I've heard of a lot of bad things happening to others, but I haven't fell into that. But you know, there's a lot of people who have and have experienced the evil day, have experienced trial and tribulation and anguish of soul. And so I want to talk about those blessings that you can find in there. Now, let me read to you from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh," the Bible says, "but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So the Bible says that when a man walks with God, when they're reading the Bible, when they're serving the Lord, they're not going to see when he cometh. They're not going to see when the evil comes upon them because of the fact that their heart, their mind is stayed on the Lord. They're focused on that which is most important. Now, about a year ago, I preached a sermon called God's Remedy for the Evil Day. And I basically explain what are the solutions that God gives when we experience a trial, a tribulation, etc. And I was explaining in that sermon that when the Bible talks about evil, often we associate that with evildoers, right? People who are involved in mischievousness, they want to harm other people, people who are the workers of iniquity. But when the Bible talks about evil, it's not only referring to evildoers, it could just be referring to a mishap, you know, a misfortune, a time of difficulty, a time of trial. And sometimes this happens because God is judging a Christian, right? God brings an evil upon an individual because of their disobedience towards God. and he's chastising them, he's spanking them, and he's allowing evil to come upon that individual. But sometimes evil comes upon an individual, not because they're disobedient to God, but just because it's life. Amen. Because of 2020. Because of the evil of others, the evil intentions of others, innocent people suffer the consequences of other people's actions. Okay? Look at chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, if you would. Chapter 9. And what I want to tell you this evening is that, hey, you need to look at the silver lining in all those evil days. Amen. You know, look at all the anguish that you've experienced, or even the anguish that you will experience one day, because it is going to happen. Amen. And what you need to do is look out, pick out the blessings of those times. You know, this is our Thanksgiving service, so what are we doing for Thanksgiving? We're reminded to be thankful. Amen. Of everything that we have. We never want to be the kind of people that just murmur and complain and just everything is just woe and God's not good. He's not on the throne. You know, we want to be the kind of people that even though we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we can be thankful for the things that we have. That's right? Yeah, that's good. And the way we do that is by looking at the blessings that are found within the evil day. Okay, look at chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know, maybe in the beginning of the year, everything was just going dandy for you, and then boom, you lose your job. Boom, you get sick. Boom, you lose a family member. You know, that's something, that's an evil that comes upon you suddenly. And the Bible's telling us that this is just, doesn't mean you're wicked. It doesn't mean you're not right with God. It's just the evils of this day. Right. And the Bible warns us in the New Testament to withstand in the evil day. Amen. Now, obviously, when you're experiencing evil, you should examine yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You know, if you are suffering anguish, you're going through trial and tribulation, you should examine your heart and take inventory and ask yourself, am I right with God? Do I have sin in my life? Is the Lord chastising me right now? Am I being punished? Am I being judged for the manner in which I'm living? And look, if you examine your heart thoroughly and you come out saying, well, as far as I know, I'm right with God. I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm leading my family, I'm doing the best that I could in this in my life serving God, then you know what? It's just an evil day for you is what it is.
Right.
It's not because God is judging you. It's not because he's chastising you. You're just caught up in an evil day.
Right. Amen.
And it doesn't mean you're not right with God.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you're evil yourself. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you, right?
Right.
It just means you're just caught up in an evil day.
Right.
And we never want to be the kind of Christians that think, well, you know, once I become a Christian and, you know, I start reading the Bible, everything's going to be A-okay, a bed of roses, nothing bad will ever happen. Wrong.
Amen.
Actually, sometimes life gets worse.
Yep. Right.
Because you get enemies, you know, you have the devil as your enemy. You have the world and the flesh fighting against you. Now, obviously, you know, as a Christian, we're saved. We have eternal life. We have an inheritance awaiting us. We have blessings upon blessings. The Bible says that he loadeth us daily with benefits.
Amen.
You know, God has much that he gives us, but, you know, we still go through trials in this lifetime.
Right.
You know, and you never want to fool yourself into thinking, you know, this Joel Osteen type of Christianity where God's not mad at you. Everything's going to be A-okay. Everything's going to be fine. No, you will experience the evil day. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 90. And verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servant. O satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. What is he saying? Lord, can I look at the evil days and still be glad?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Right.
You can look at the most difficult circumstances you've ever gone through, the affliction that just brought anguish to your soul, and the Bible says you can still have gladness throughout those times.
Amen.
Look, folks, it's important that you don't become bitter.
Amen.
I've met bitter Christians throughout the 14 years that I've been a Christian, and they've just completely derailed in the Christian life. They're just completely off the rails. They're just not serving God, and they live in anguish. They're not allowing the trials that they go through kind of transform them and help them to get them to that next level. You know, we can still have gladness. We can still smile. We can still have a good time, even though we're experiencing that evil day. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. So the Bible's telling us, hey, you need to make sure that you use your time wisely. And what's the wisest way to use your time? Well, look what it says in verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So how are we supposed to be using our time? In the Lord's will?
Amen.
Serving God? That's the only way we can guarantee we can have gladness when we go through the evil day.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 15:15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." You want to be able to make sure that in this lifetime, when you go through a difficult time, a trial, a death in the family, a sickness, that you're still having a continual feast in your heart.
Amen.
It's possible, folks. Now, what happens if you don't? What happens if you just disregard this instruction? You will become a bitter person.
Amen.
And a bitter person is an individual who has not forgiven an individual who has offended them or has bitterness towards God because they think that God allowed this in their life.
Right.
And look, folks, sometimes God does chastise you, but sometimes he just allows a trial into your life. He allows anguish into your life. And if you're not careful and you don't filter that through the word of God, you could become bitter towards God.
Right.
There's people like that. Yeah. They have a miscarriage. They lose a child. They go through illness and sicknesses. And they have no one else to blame, so they blame God for their tribulation. God, why did you allow this in our life? Why did you let me go through this tribulation? Why did you allow this pain? I'm serving you. I'm trying to love you with all my heart. I'm trying to win souls to Christ. I'm doing the best that I could. And you allow this difficult thing in my life. Why? And if they don't respond to that correctly, they become bitter Christians.
Right.
And they defile many, the Bible says.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Folks, when you get bitter, you're not only affecting yourself, you affect your whole family.
Amen.
You raise bitter children.
Yep.
Your spouse becomes bitter at you. You just become a bitter person that people don't want to associate with.
Right.
Now, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ruth. I'm going to give some examples tonight, and I'm going to try to streamline the sermon as much as possible because I'm hungry. And the turkey's calling out to me, man. Hey, if you want a long sermon, come on Sunday, all right? I'm going old IFB tonight. Not that much. So let me give you the blessings of the evil day, okay? Because look, you will go through that.
Amen.
You will experience an evil day.
Right.
And, you know, lest you think, well, not me. You know, I love the Lord, I'm strong, I got thick skin, I memorize the word of God, I will not feel anguish. Wrong, folks.
Amen.
You will experience an evil day. And let me say this, is that the evil day always hits you where it hurts the most.
Yeah. Right.
Always.
That's right.
It'll bring you to your knees. And sometimes that's the reason why the evil day comes.
Right.
To bring us to our knees.
Amen.
Number one, what is the blessing of the evil day? Well, number one, the blessings of the evil day, can give us a goodly heritage. And what do I mean by that? Well, Ruth is a great example of someone who went through a very difficult time, and she received a goodly heritage because of it. Look what it says in Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So what do we see here? We see that this guy, he sojourns into a foreign land because there's a famine in the land. And who suffers the consequences because of that? Naomi. Because now he's dead. She's in a foreign land. Now she's a widow in a foreign land suffering the consequences of someone else's actions. That's harsh. Well, let's add more to that. Her sons marry women of that region. They die. Now they're widows. They don't have someone to provide for them. They have nothing. They've lost everything. This is a very difficult situation. You know, a man, if his wife dies, it's anguish, it's difficult, but you know what? He can still work. He can still provide for himself. But in these days, when that happened, it was very difficult for a woman. She couldn't necessarily just go have a job. You know, she would glean the corners of the field. That's what they would do for the poor people in those days. But here we see that they lost everything. It says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Skip down to verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? So we see that Ruth, if you read the entire chapter, actually decides to follow her mother-in-law. Orpah does not decide to do that. She decides to stay there. Ruth follows her and basically says, your God is my God, your people, my people. I'm just going to go where you're going. She follows them. But when Naomi comes back to her homeland, they're like, is that Naomi? By the way, it's not because, you know, she gained a little weight or something, okay? We're going to see why they're saying that. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Well, hold on a second. Was the Almighty who did that to her? No. Technically, it was her husband. But who's she blaming? God. Yep. She's like, God dealt bitterly with me. You know, sometimes people give God credit for things he just never does. Yep. Right? I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So what is she saying? She comes home and she says, don't call me that. Call me bitter. Because God had dealt very bitterly with me. That's unfortunate for her. Now, fortunately for her daughter-in-law, Ruth, she ends up marrying Boaz. And Boaz is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So what do we see God doing in the life of Ruth? Because she chose to have the Lord as her God. He gave her a goodly heritage.
Amen.
Now, go with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So what is the Bible telling us here? It's telling us that every individual in this world, God has basically determined that that's exactly where they would be born. You have the mom and dad that God wanted you to have. You have the color skin that God wanted you to have, the race that God wanted you to have, the region that you're from, that's where God wanted you to be. He determined the bounds of your habitation. And let me say this, some habitations are worse than others.
Right?
I'm sure there's people here like, man, I had a rough upbringing. I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up with a dad that beat me, or a mom that whooped me and she abused me, or an uncle that did this, whatever. Those are the bounds of your habitation, and you suffer the consequences of other people's actions. That was your lot in life, right? You think of a lot as basically a portion of land that belongs to you. That's what you have. That's your inheritance. Now look what it says in Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. So David here is saying, look, my lot is great. My parents are believers. I mean, he's in Israel. I mean, David was in the lineage of Jesus Christ as well, right? You think to yourself, man, I wish I would have grown up in a Christian home or something. I would have saved myself a lot of anguish and trial if I would have just grown up with Christian parents or something. Yeah, but what about Ruth? Ruth didn't necessarily have the best lines, the best portion, the best lot. But what happened? Well, when she experienced that evil day actually modified those lines and gave her a goodly heritage.
Amen. That's good.
Now she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So what is the blessing of the evil day? Here's the blessing is that sometimes your lines can be modified.
Amen.
Your lot can change. And God can do something great in your life.
Amen.
Or it's just like, man, I had such a horrible upbringing, or, you know, I didn't have the best in life, and I went through so many difficult things. And then you go through that evil day, and what does that evil day do? It just changes your entire lot.
Yep.
It puts you in a position where you hear the gospel and you get saved.
Amen.
It puts you in a position to find a godly spouse.
Amen.
To be in a great church.
Amen.
With great people. And what does God do? He gives you a goodly heritage. But hold on a second. What if you would have been like Naomi, though? Just bitter. Don't call me that. Call me Mara. The first Karen, you know, the Old Testament. Mara. Not Ruth. When Ruth said, "Thy God shall be my God," she meant it.
Amen.
God saw that. He looked upon that. Even though the bounds of her habitation were already set forward, they're already set forth, she allowed that evil day to modify her lines and ultimately modify her law, ultimately giving her a really goodly heritage.
Amen.
Same can be done for you.
Amen.
So don't, you know, withstand the evil day in the sense of like you just deny it, you become bitter, you blame God, you blame your parents, you blame, don't have this victim mentality. Roll with the punches. Be thankful for the trials you went through because they're the ones that gave you the lines that you have today.
Amen.
And let me just say this. If you're here tonight, you have some pretty good lines, in my opinion.
Amen.
You have a pretty nice lot, in my opinion. Or at least you have the foundation to create a great lot, to
Amen.
Build a great house upon this lot that's given to you.
Amen.
I mean, what if you would have been like, you know, born into some like liberal church or something?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm thankful that I got saved at an independent fundamental Baptist church.
Amen.
That I learned about the King James Bible, learned about soul winning. I'm thankful that I had people in my life that taught me, even though I got saved later on in life. And guess what? God changed those lines through that evil day.
That's right.
And so what are the blessings of that evil day? Well, sometimes God can just give you a goodly heritage and modify those lines and change your lot. As long as you respond correctly to them, though. Go to Genesis 50. Genesis 50. So the blessings of the evil day, number one, it can give you a goodly heritage if you respond correctly. Number two, it can help you really see the bigger picture.
Amen.
You know, because people, when they go through an evil day, it's just all about them.
Right.
Well, you don't know what I went through. You don't know the difficulties that I've seen. You don't know what people have done to me. You don't know X, Y, and Z, and the list can go on and on and on. And you know what? It's often all about them.
Right.
Whereas what God wants is for you to just see the bigger picture.
Amen.
What's the bigger picture? That it's not all about you.
Right.
Amen. It's all about God.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Great Commission. It's all about soul winning, winning other people to Christ.
Amen.
What's a great example of this? Well, how about Joseph? Man, Joseph went through many evil days. I mean, you know, one of the harshest things that a man could ever experience is betrayal. Wouldn't you agree with that, man?
Amen.
To be betrayed by people that you love or be betrayed by family. That hurts. I'm sure it hurts for ladies too, but for a man, that you know, loyalty is important to a man. And he was betrayed by his own brethren. He was sold as a slave by his own brothers. He was lied about I mean, he went through trial and tribulation over and over again. And then ultimately, of course, we see that later on he becomes the vice pharaoh of Egypt. Basically the second in command of the, over the most powerful empire of that time. Look at verse 14 of Genesis 50. It says, "And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did evil, they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." So what's going on here? Well, Jacob was basically like the other brother's protection. Because, you know, Joseph's in charge. Yeah. So Jacob passes off the scene, and it's just like, oh man, we're done. He's going to treat us like trash. You know, he's going to really let us have it now. So they send a messenger to say, "Hey, just let you know, Dad, you know, wanted you to be nice to your brothers." Verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Look what it says, "to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." He didn't say, "Oh, you know, don't worry, God meant it unto good to make me vice pharaoh, to just make me an important person." How did he see it? He saw it as saving much people alive.
Amen.
Which, saving much people alive and the trials that he went through have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
Other than the fact that they placed him on a road to where he would become vice pharaoh, putting him in a position where he can save a lot of people, including his own family.
Amen.
So what is he doing here? He can see the bigger picture.
Right.
And this is important, folks. When you go through a difficult time, an evil day, you need to see the bigger picture of what God is doing.
Amen.
And I know that's really hard when you're going through it, like right in the middle of it. Like in the middle of it, you're like, "I don't even care what the bigger picture is. Forget the bigger picture. I'm suffering here. I'm in pain. I'm in anguish." But you know what? You don't want to be the person, you don't want to be the Naomi.
Amen.
You don't want to be the individual that just lives in the past.
Right.
Lives thinking about what others did to you. You know, lives, with the pain that other people inflicted upon you, how they defrauded you, how they wronged you. Be like Joseph.
Yeah.
Who Joseph said, "No, there's a greater purpose to this. It was to save much people alive." And you know what? You went through a lot of trials. In your life, you had a difficult upbringing, okay, but it was to save a bunch of people alive.
Amen.
Because you're seeing a bunch of people saved now.
That's right.
You're saving people from hell.
Amen.
That's to save a bunch of people alive. But you know, it's unfortunate you have Christians who go through that evil day. They don't see the bigger picture, and so it's like that pain is in vain.
Right.
Don't waste pain.
Amen.
Don't waste it. Use it. Help it, allow it to help you to see the bigger picture that God has for you.
Amen.
And God does have a plan for each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen?
And he wants to use the pains and the afflictions that we experience as a tool to help other people. Amen?
Amen.
You can't do that if you're bitter. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, to go to Psalm 119. Talk about the evil day here. It's painful. It hurts. It produces tears. It produces sleepless nights. It produces anxiety and anguish, sometimes depression. Don't let it go to waste. Yeah. Recognize that there is a blessing found somewhere in there.
Right.
Always is. What are the blessings? Well, it can give you a goodly heritage. It can help you to see the bigger picture of what God is really going to do in your life. Through that. How about this? It just increases your understanding.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people are like, "Man, I want to understand the Bible more." Like, are you sure about that? "I just want to understand the deep things of God." Well, you know, sometimes the deep things of God cannot be understood until you experience very painful things in your life.
That's right.
You actually gain a deeper understanding of the Bible when you go through difficult trials in your life. That's why Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death.
Amen.
We have great communion with Jesus Christ when we suffer with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we have anguish. Hey, when we go through the evil day, that can increase our understanding, not just of God's word, but just of life in general.
Right.
Look at Psalm 119, verse 67 says, verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word.
Amen.
By the way, sometimes afflictions kind of realign you, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you might be going a little crooked. You're getting involved in sin. You're playing with things that you shouldn't be playing with. What happens? Affliction comes, and then you just kind of get you back on track.
Right.
Amen. Instills the fear of God in you, right?
Right.
Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Who can really say that other than like David here, you know? He says, it's good that I was afflicted. I'm glad I went through pain. I'm glad I went through sorrow because then I was able to learn God's word. That says a lot about David.
Amen.
And you know what? It's good for us to be afflicted as well.
Amen.
You know, it's good for you to go through difficulties and trials. You know, if you're a little soft in your Christian life, if you're a little light on your toes, if you're a little weak spiritually, you know, it's good that you experience some affliction.
Amen.
To toughen you up.
Right.
And to learn the word of God. It gives you experience. And look, David went through some hard times.
Right.
Being chased by Saul. By his own son. But here's the thing. Anytime he went through a trial, I mean, God used him greatly. Think about this. When he was on the run, who did he run into? He ran into the distressed, the discontent, those who were in debt, David's mighty men.
Amen.
He created that band of strong men while he was going through that trial. You want to increase your understanding of life. You want to increase your understanding of God's word. You want to increase your understanding of wisdom and things pertaining to this life. Go through some trials.
Yeah.
And when you go through those trials, don't get out of church. Don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop praying. Don't blame God. Just take it like a man.
Amen.
Allow yourself to be afflicted, to have that pain, that sorrow, and draw nigh unto him. Amen. Go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Here's my last point. Blessings in the evil day creates gratitude for the most important things. You know, when everything's just going smooth and you just put it on cruise control, you're not really grateful for a whole lot. You kind of take things for granted. But when you go through a trial, you realize what really is important.
Right.
When you don't have trials, when everything's going great, the bills are being paid, your health is great, you got 3 meals, you're getting a good night's sleep, your wife loves you. You know, everything's just dandy. Then you just kind of put everything on cruise control and you know, you just don't really appreciate everything.
Right.
But when you go through a difficult time, you recognize what's really important in life.
That's right.
Your children.
Amen.
Your spouse. The Lord. The Bible. Trials accentuate that which is most important.
Amen.
Amen.
It helps you to recognize, hey, it kind of slaps you in the face and it's like, hey, that's not important.
Right.
Money's not important. The fears of this world, not important. The cares of this life, not important. The affairs of this life, not important. The Bible, that's important.
Amen.
The souls of your children, that's important.
That's right.
Your spouse, that's important.
That's right.
Your church, that's important.
Amen.
It creates a gratitude for the most important things in life. Look at Job. Now, Job went through a very difficult time, right?
Right.
I mean, he lost everything. Even the support of his wife. She's like, curse God and die. You know, and obviously she's going through a difficult time too. But everything rises and falls on leadership, right?
Right.
Look at verse 20. It says, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And he was a rich man. Had a lot of children. Children that were already grown up.
Yeah.
Folks, I would have a hard time thinking that I would lose my four-year-old. Imagine having that child for 2 decades, 3 decades, right? And then they die all at the same time. And what was the attitude he had? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So even though he lost everything, all his resources, all his riches, his family, he still knew what was the most important thing, which is God.
Amen.
He knew that he would not lose the Lord. Look what it says in verse 22. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Amen.
He didn't blame God. He didn't say, God, you did this, even though he's the one who allowed it.
Right?
Right? Hast thou considered my servant Job? He's the one who allowed it. But he said, he didn't charge God. He didn't say, Lord, this is your fault. You could have stopped this. You could have done. No, he just blessed the Lord.
Amen.
Go to Job 23. By the way, one thing that we learned from Job's life is that a trial reveals your true colors.
Right?
Amen. It really reveals who you really are. It reveals your true colors. And look what it says in verse God. I can't perceive him. On the left, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and that I cannot see him. What is he saying? Man, I'm praying. I feel like he's not even answering my prayers. I feel like the Lord has forsaken me. But, he said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So what did the trial do? It revealed his true color.
Amen.
What was his true color? Gold.
Amen.
He was made out of gold. You know, hot water only reveals what's really inside of a tea bag, does it not?
Right.
When you put a tea bag into the water, you can't blame the water for all the contents to come out. It just reveals what's already in there, inside of the tea bag. And when you go through hot water, when you go through a difficult trial, you can't really blame anybody. The trial is just really revealing who you really are.
Right.
It's revealing whether you're made of gold or plastic. That's all it does.
Right.
And my hope is that all of us, when we go through a trial, we come forth as gold. And every single one of us could.
Amen.
If you just understand that there's a blessing in that evil day.
Amen.
Don't quit. Allow the evil day to create within you a heart of gratitude for that which is most important. And look, I know people in our church who are going through a difficult time. And to them, the church is everything. You know why? Because the church is that which is most important to them at this point.
Amen.
They're recognizing how important a church is. They're probably thinking to themselves, man, some of these people who come and go and, you know, they're not very consistent, they don't realize it's important to be here.
Right.
And the reason they realize that is because they're going through a difficult time that's helping them to realize the most important things in life.
Right.
You can do that even if you don't go through a trial. It's just that a trial helps you to do that. If you're having a hard time, like, what's really important in life? Oh, yeah, just go through a trial. You'll find out what's really important.
Amen.
You'll see that real fast. So what's the sermon this evening? The sermon is simply this, is that don't reject the evil day. Don't be bitter in the evil day. Just look for the silver lining in the evil day. Pull out the blessings. Recognize that God has a purpose for it. Recognize that, you know, God can give you a goodly heritage. Recognize that God, it really just shows your true colors. Realize that it can help you see the bigger picture in life, and it can increase your understanding in the Word of God and even the things of life. The evil day is coming. Help us, you know, we need to just be thankful. Ask the Lord to help us to be thankful in the evil day. Amen?
Amen.
Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We're going to pray for the food as well, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the evil day as well. We should give thanks in all things, and in the good days and in the bad. And I pray, God, that you strengthen us, help us as your people to not quit when the going gets tough, when pain seems to overwhelm us and we feel as though we're drowning in sorrow. Help us to not give in to the flesh that tells us to get out of the way and stop serving God. Help us to continue to serve you, knowing that we shall come forth as gold. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. We know that there is always a reward at the end of a trial, and trials don't last forever, even though when we're in the midst of it, they seem as though they will. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to have that discernment of heart and that wisdom to view our evil days as a blessing from you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.